I'll tell myself. I know it did. And I always forget to. So you're seeing me unravel it. You're seeing me turn it on, and I'm going to unmute it. Oh, you weren't doing Sammy Sosa? Well, good evening. I was joking. I said I thought I scared everybody off. But I'm thankful for the ones who are back this evening. If you've got your Bibles, I've got two places we're going to start out in. But I want to say this before I do. I am thankful for the fellowship that we had after church. It's always good to spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think more than anything that you have my worldly acquaintances, you know, it's good to spend time with friends. I have quite a few, but I don't have too many of, I guess you would say, I try to run around with the godly crowd, if that makes any sense. I like to spend time with my brothers and sisters. We're of like mind. We're they say, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And we were sitting back, and you know this, most of you are still here. We were having just a good time, and I never want to waste the opportunity to spend time with family. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to two places, and I'll try to be quick this evening, which means I've kind of put myself in a bad spot because I didn't realize how quick the message was this morning. But I don't know if we're going to get done this quick, but the Lord has given me a thought that we are very blessed by. I am rambling. I had a good nap this evening. Amen. There we go. Let's get it out of the way. Yes, I had a good nap. All those who would, please turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to start in the 13th verse. And then once you get there, set your finger on 1 Peter chapter number 1. So Philippians chapter number 3 in the 13th verse, and then 1 Peter chapter number 1 verse 13. Once you find your spot at the 13th verse of Philippians chapter number 3, stand with us for the reading and reverence of the Word of God, then we'll go over to 1 Peter. But it starts out here, brethren, and that's who he's talking to. Remember this, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the elect. He's talking to God's people. We see here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 13 states this, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be besought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass wherewith and the flower therewith falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we said again, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer time. We thank you for the meditations time. We thank you for the rest that you've given. But God, we pray that, Father, we would take what you have given us and use it. And not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Father, not just talking the talk, but walking in your walk. Every step that we take, Lord, let it be to glorify you. Let it be to lift you up. Let us remember that, God, you have given so much. And Father, you have asked of nothing of us but to love you. Now, Lord, we thank you. In your Son's sweet and heavenly name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this thought real quick. Focusing on moving forward. Focusing on moving forward. Now, I don't believe I've ever preached this message here. If I have preached this message here, well, guess what? You're going to hear it again. Y'all sing the same songs time and time again. So you're going to hear the message again. Now, I'm thankful for the songs. That's somebody's testimony. That's somebody's experience. That's someone's blessing. And they were able, through the submission of Christ, to pin those words down, apply them to music, and we sing them. And we sing those songs so much that even just the first few notes, we know what we're singing. We sing about higher ground, sing about flying away, sing about what a day that will be. And each of those songs that we sing, that's a blessing. Not that we should receive a blessing, but we should bless the Lord. But this evening, I want to preach on focusing on moving forward. Now, Paul over in Philippians talked about pressing toward the mark. Talking about not have apprehended anything. Wasn't boasting on who he was. This morning, I preached a little bit laying your life down for your friend, and how really you're removing yourself of yourself. You're more or less focusing on God. And I believe that's what we need to do at any point in life, is to focus on what God would have us to do. And we live in a time where we almost have tunnel vision on certain things. I mean, we get so focused on one thing that everything else doesn't matter. I have what's called selective focus. Christy will either say I have selective hearing. You men know what I'm talking about. They're not listening. Or we have selective focus, where we just start to zone out. And we zone out at the most inopportune times. It's usually when, you know, she's telling me that I did something wrong and I just, you know, it's accidental. Little humor is good, by the way. But here's the thing, is perhaps we're focusing on the wrong things. Perhaps we're worrying about the wrong things. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a world that loves chaos. They don't want structure. They don't want a set finding. They love when things are just sporadic. When you just do something per happenstance. I love that word because it just means whatever you say it means. It just occurs. But could you imagine setting up the foundation of the world just by happenstance? So many say that it just happened, that the world just was there. You have these evolutionists. They think they got this perfect assembled world from chaos. And that's not what happened. God had a plan and he set it in motion. Now, not to say that the world is not perfect. It's not due to the fall of man. But we understand what I'm trying to get at is that if we start focusing on the chaos, pretty soon we're in just complete disarray. But if I can, just for a few moments, give three simple points on what or how we can focus on moving forward. If you look over here at verse number 13, we understand that first, on focusing on moving forward, we must focus on Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we see the three words, sober, hope, and grace. And I believe I've preached on that here. I maybe a year or two so, but I think of those words and how we are to apply them to our minds. You think of the word sober, automatically the world would say, well, that means you're not drunk, and that's correct, but it also means to be clear-minded. And I've never met someone who's focusing on Christ not be clear-minded. I mean, he is the perfect focal point. Having a bad day, focus on Christ. Trust me, it works. Not knowing what's going to happen, focus on Christ. Pretty soon, you don't care what's going to happen. All you know is that you want to be with him. But we understand that sober, hope, grace, this is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's in his hope that we know grace. He is our blessed hope. We've said it time and time again. There's a difference between a world hope, a worldly hope, and a spiritual hope. Worldly hope is a possibility. Spiritual hope is an actuality. We have our blessed hope. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 tells us in verses 3 and 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if we focus on him, we cannot fail. Does that make sense? If we focus on him, we cannot fall. How do you stumble when you're leaning against the immovable object? How do you falter when you're following the plan of the one of perfection? How do you go astray when you've been found by the Savior? So we see, first of all, focusing on Christ. Next, we find this, forgetting our past choices. Now, I have struggles with this because I don't want to necessarily forget where I came from. Once we start forgetting where we came from, we start acting as if we're better than someone. You see, that's the issue. I knew a woman at work, and I invited her to church. She's a little bit older than me and Christy. And she said that she'd like to go, but she didn't want to be around those hypocrites. I couldn't correct her. I couldn't say, well, there's no hypocrites in church. Then I would have been a hypocrite. There's so many times that we forget that we were on our way to hell too. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were without hope. We were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We were dogs. But we came out from among them and we became a separate people. We understand here in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Just give me a second to get there. I accidentally lost my spot, but we say Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 22, it says, that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. When I say that we forget our past choices, what I mean is this, is that we have no desire to go back to our past choices. There is no erasing what we've done on this earth. Now, the Lord has cast our sin as far as from the east as from the west. We sing that song, what song, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore, but here's the thing, is, as I've said it this morning, the world remembers. Satan remembers. And it is his utmost job to remind us of our failures. But to know and to accept where we came from is to allow us to move forward. All too often, I do this a lot, I'll go back and I'll start to focus on past mistakes. But the realization is this, is that if we focus on those past mistakes, we're not helping anyone. We'll be stuck in those past mistakes, wasting precious moments to honor and glorify God. We'll continue real quick. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, and how he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corruption proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Our past does not define us, but our future will. Where we're going defines us. The Bible says to take no care for tomorrow. And it's true, tomorrow is not promised. But I know who holds tomorrow. I love Jesus, don't you? And I love what He's done for us. And I love where He's brought us from. And I love who He has allowed us to come in contact with. And I'm not just talking about Himself. Each and every one of us. What a blessing is it to know that we are a collective group of members made up of one body. And that when one weepeth, we reap with him. And when one rejoices, we can rejoice with him without malice or covetousness, because we can celebrate with one another. I was actually, Sister Ashley, kind of thinking about, you've had a lot go on in the past few months. Graduating cosmetology school. Graduating high school. Getting married. Bought a new house. Brother Derek's like, I bought the new... No, you didn't. But I mean, these two have been through a lot. But you keep going. You keep pressing forward. Not looking back at the mistakes that you've made. Not sitting there and feeling sorry for yourself. If you think about it, you look about at your past, it's kind of depressing, isn't it? We were sitting there talking, and we were both, me and another were saying, we don't know how we made it to a certain age. I do. It was by the grace of God. I don't know. To be honest with you, even after being saved, I don't know how I've made it to 32 years old. Not saying I've done anything wrong, but even still, I make bad choices. Perhaps in my diet. Perhaps in maybe doing home improvement things that I should hire someone else to do. But it's... Brother Allen's back there like, amen. But it's by the grace of God we are kept. It's by His mercy that He's allowed us to be here this long. And what I'm trying to get at is this, is don't waste that opportunity. Don't waste that blessing. I'm not saying go back and do it again, because He's also given us common sense. I believe it's still out there. It's just few and far between. But God's people should have some common sense. But not only should we focus on Christ, forgetting the past choices, but I couldn't think of anything else than rather this, is when we're focusing on Christ, we're following Christ. When we're focusing on our future, we're focusing on Christ. Because He's the one who came before. He's the one who is. And He's going to be that one after. The same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. I mean, yes, we are right here. It's true. We are sitting in Victory Independent Baptist Church. But in the next few minutes, we'll be headed out into the world. Are we going to follow the world? Or are we going to follow Christ? Real quick. Verse 17 says, "And if ye call on the Father, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of your father." Now, this is speaking of our past. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but the manifest is in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now listen, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass, the grass wherewith and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Simply put, here's the thing. We have been brought out of condemnation. This is not a deep theological thought right here. He removed us from our path to hell. And he set us on the path of righteousness. Let me put that better. On his path of righteousness. Not born of corruptible seed, as we were in the flesh, but incorruptible seed through our second birth. To focus on Christ. And to not feign over the past choices. I guess that would have been a better one. But to be followers of Christ. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even so as I am of Christ." Not that he was boasting of himself, but he knew exactly where Christ had brought him from. You see, it's all too often where we are just in a set motion of church. A set motion of Monday through Saturday. We live in the days of just repetitiveness. You'll know who will be at church on Sunday morning. You'll know who will be at church on Sunday evening. You'll know who will be at church on Wednesday evening. And those who are here on Sunday evening and Sunday and Wednesday evening, usually those are the ones who are here on Sunday morning. The faithful few is what the pastor would call them. So the faithful few are focused on Christ. The faithful few are forgetting their past choices and learning from them. The faithful few are following Christ with an obedient heart and a submissive heart, a whole heart, a new heart, in absolute love. Why? Because that love that he gave us must be reciprocated. And not just reciprocated back to him, but how about reciprocated to the world? Not to be stingy and be choiceful of who you tell about Jesus. I like that reaction. Not that it was glorifying me, but here's the thing. What if someone didn't tell you? I'll end it with this. To follow him is to unfollow the world. There is no gray area with God. When I used to get in trouble, my uncle would say, it's either my way or the highway. Well, that's not how it is with God. It's either His way or no way. It's either His way or hell. That's a scary thought, isn't it? It took one chance just to say no for everything to crumble away. It took one opportunity to sell everything that a young man owned and to follow Christ, but he went away sorrowful. It took one opportunity to come to church one evening and not be white-knuckled and hold on to the back of the pew and be caught up in our pride, but to come forward. And it wasn't necessarily in church. Christy got saved at home. I know people who've gotten saved in cars, in tents, in grocery stores. I've heard stories of men getting saved when they were walking down the street. But it's because someone focused on Christ, forgot about themselves, and followed Jesus. I'm done, bud.